Welcome to Tuned In, KWBG's News and Public Affairs program. And now here's your host, News Director Jim Turbis.
Today on the program, we are pleased to welcome Iowa Senator Charles Grassley to the phone line. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be with you. And I assume that we're on about once every month. I thank you for that opportunity to talk to the people there in the Boone area.
Well, we do try to, sometimes your schedule gets a little busy, and right now you're just kind of, working through getting, what's it like, what's going on in Washington right now, so everybody kind of understands how this is playing out here?
It'd be the usual work of the United States Senate, but this year, trying to do something that hasn't been done for several years, because when Reid run the Senate and his party was in the majority, the idea was to pass one great big appropriation bill at the end of the year. And a long time before Reid took over, every year there was 12 different appropriation bills. We're trying to get back on track to having separate appropriation bills. In other words, divide up all of government into about 12 different areas and have an appropriation bill for those separate areas, so you get down into the weeds of trying to change policy at the lowest level instead of just passing one appropriation bill and never dealing with the intricacies of government. And so last week we passed the water and energy bill. It's quite obvious that deals with the Department of Energy, as an example, or with the Corps of Engineers. Then this week we're on two separate bills. One, transportation and housing and urban development would be one bill, and the other bill would deal with what we call military construction. It's not everything in the Department of Defense, but everything that deals with, I guess you'd say, bricks and mortar.
Sure.
And then after that, I don't know, but the idea is to get as many individual appropriation bills as we can get done between now and the Democrat and Republican conventions when we break for the summer.
Okay, yep. So that means we've got plenty of work yet to do. I know that the water and energy bill, you were able to get what, an amendment had to do with some of the wind energy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Department of Energy, there's money for research, and there was money for research in the bill, but there's some people don't like wind energy, and so they were going to cut $17 million out of what wind got for the year we're in, and give it to other research of other alternative energies. And if it hadn't been just because they didn't like wind, I wouldn't have done anything about it. But I get tired of people bad-mouthing wind, and other forms of energy are okay. I think I'm one of these guys that's for all of the above. In other words, fossil fuels, alternative energy of all kinds, conservation, and nuclear. And some people are against alternative energy.
Sure.
And that's why we were able to get $17 million back into wind energy. They weren't going to save it anyway. If they were, that would be one thing. But they weren't going to spend it on their pet projects. So Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, and I got together, and we got wind energy back up for next year for the level it is for this year. No increase, but the same level.
And wind energy, the people that, we're talking a credit or kind of a subsidy thing, but they've already said they're phasing it out, that they're comfortable with that.
Yeah, and as the author of the Wind Energy Tax Credit in 1992, which, by the way, I didn't know it was going to be the big thing in Iowa, where we get 31% of our electricity from wind today, I didn't have any idea it'd be that big of a thing and create 6,000 jobs in Iowa. But you're right. When you have a tax credit for production of wind, and it's a brand new industry, it's necessary to get that started. But that goes way back to 1992. The wind energy industry was the first alternative energy industry that came up and said, we're a mature industry, we can be phased out. So starting this year, by 2020, there won't be any subsidy for wind.
Okay. You mentioned the transportation budget, pretty massive. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had anything going on in that area.
Well, the real breakthrough was last fall when we passed for the first time in about 10 years a long-term transportation bill. And so now the states can make long-range planning because they know we got a five-year authorization bill. So what we're doing on transportation this year is just appropriating the amount of money that needs to be spent for 17.
Okay.
But we have a five-year commitment to it.
Well, I know that there have been a lot of other things going on. Your Judiciary Committee has been extremely busy. I know everybody keeps going back to Judge Garland, but when I look at that, to me, it's kind of like, you know, I can schedule hearings, but it's not going to get approved.
Yeah, you've listened to my message well, and it's not just my message. I happen to be chairman of the committee, but a majority of the Senate has said we're going to do what senators have had an understanding for the last 30 years, that if there's a vacancy in the last year of a presidency, then the new president should fill that vacancy, give the people a chance to have a voice through who they elect for president, then you're influencing the type of person, whether it's going to be a strict constructionist or somebody that's going to make law instead of interpret law, beyond the Supreme Court. And Trump is the sort of a person that would put what we call a strict constructionist on the Supreme Court so that they're interpreting law rather than Hillary Clinton going to put people on that would make law.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, judiciary has approved, what, over 300 other judicial appointments?
Yeah, 324. Mm-hmm. I think this week, 325. Only disapproved two.
Yeah, and you have several more that are still up. Yeah, I think
within 18 minutes, I'll go to a committee meeting where we're having a hearing on five additional judges.
So it's
and then we're on par to do it exactly for the same number of people that the Democrats did in the last 2 years of the Bush administration.
Just so listeners know, judiciary does a lot more than that. I know here in Iowa, the state legislature, they did pass some sentencing reform, and you've been able to move out some bipartisan sentencing reform on your Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yes, and it's waiting for action on the floor of the United States Senate. In fact, we put out 30 bills since I've been chairman of the committee. All 30 bills have been bipartisan. 16, 17, or 18, I don't know the exact number, have passed the United States Senate, and 9 now have been signed by the President of the United States. Within the last week, we've passed a very important bill to protect industry on trade secrets so somebody can't steal trade secrets. The President signed that. He signed a bill to allow grants for the police departments to be used for body armor for policemen, as a couple bills that have been recently signed.
So you guys have been pretty busy. Everybody just kind of focuses on some of the high profile things.
Yeah,
this is a lot of the work that we need day to day, isn't it?
Yeah, and when I read letters to the editor and they say Grassley's not doing his job, it makes it look like we're just sitting around doing nothing as opposed to voting out 30 bills that have been bipartisan. We're going to have 4 more hearings today on judges. That's 43 judges that we've had hearings on so far this year. So far since I've been chairman of the committee. So that'd be about 15 months, I guess you'd say, and things like that. And they want to imply that the Constitution requires you to have a hearing on a justice for the Supreme Court. The Constitution says the Senate or the President shall appoint with the advice and consent of the Senate judges and cabinet people. but it says nothing about the Senate having to take action on those. And Senator Reid said the very same thing in the Bush administration. Yeah. He said that there's nothing in the Constitution says the Senate has to act. Well, the Senate will act on that vacancy, but we're going to do it the same way that that senators for 30 years have been saying, that if there's vacancy in a lame duck presidency, then it should go over to the new president to make the appointment.
Well, I know that I hope all our listeners know that your history in Washington, you've been a very strong supporter on campaigns to, deal with drug abuse, drug prevention, and things like that. You got to have some concerns about some of the things we're seeing in the news with the opiate increases, heroin, and those kinds of things. Are they creating some new issues for you, or is this just part of the ongoing battle?
No, it's kind of directing government anti-drug programs and substance abuse programs to a new problem, and that is opioid. And that bill came out of my committee about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, and it was passed by the Senate maybe about 6 weeks ago, 98-1, I believe. Yeah. Now, the Senate, or the House of Representatives, has passed similar legislation, not exactly the same, so we're going to have to work out the difference between the House and the Senate, but we'll get a bill to the president. And it isn't just opioid abuse. It deals with the issues of doctors for pain killing, prescribing opioids, and then when opioids are very expensive and heroin is less expensive and you're addicted, then you get on to the heroin because it's cheaper. And there's 43,000 deaths from opioid overdose. And this is why this legislation is so very important. Now, we don't notice it in all of Iowa. In eastern Iowa, it tends to be a problem, but nothing like it is in New England.
Yeah, and it's one of those, we know that it's kind of like, I know you've been a long time, along with a couple of other senators, battling on drug trafficking, methamphetamine, and things like that. So it's an issue that's there. It's being prepared to fight it and to pursue.
Well, this bill will take us a long ways down the road to do more than we have been doing in opioid overdose.
Yeah. I did want to ask you, because I know that you've been working on taking a look at veterans' benefits. I know that Senator Ernst has been heavily involved with this as well. But you've done some investigation into the Wounded Warrior Project. These are, some of the things that I know they come to you guys, and you get an opportunity to start doing an investigation, finding out exactly what is happening and trying to get answers.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody knows about the Wounded Warrior program and the good that comes from it when people contribute to it. But there's been some evidence that the money hasn't been handled, all of the money handled responsibly, and that's what we're investigating. Because we want programs like that to continue. But people ought to have, if they're going to contribute that $19 a month, and maybe people contribute a lot more than that. But to whatever they contribute, they ought to know that the money's being used for the veterans and not wasted by people that run the organization. And that's what we're investigating.
Right.
I haven't drawn any conclusions yet.
It's just one of those seeking more input.
Yeah.
Yep. We still have some of the other things that you're working on besides judiciary and things like that, and these budget bills? That's been the main focus, or will be?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not a member. I'm a member of the Budget Committee, but we just established budget policy.
Mm-hmm.
The actual appropriations are done by the appropriators, and I'm not on that committee, so I don't get involved in that until the bill gets to the floor.
Sure.
So yesterday, I tried to bring up an amendment that I had to have unanimous consent to get up, and Democrats objected because they don't want to vote on gun bills. But we have the VA in a situation where they ran into a veteran who needs fiduciary help in handling finances. He's put into the area of mental incompetence. His name goes to the FBI gun ban list, and he can't buy guns, so his Second Amendment rights are being violated, even if he is competent, just needs help with these finances.
Sure.
That's not a judgment of incompetence to handle a gun, and I wanted to offer an amendment to correct that situation, and Democrats objected because they don't want to vote on gun bills.
So part of the falls into the big categories, and we just look at the top side of it too. As you get ready to go, I know you got primary coming up and things like that, so be making visits once you get a chance to get out of Washington and start traveling around?
I've got, well, the Republican convention is this weekend in Des Moines, so obviously I'm going to be at that. I've got some other political events, but for the benefit of your listeners, because you mentioned the primary coming up, I was going to have a primary opponent that announced in January, but he didn't follow. So I don't have a primary opponent, but I'm waiting to see which one of the four Democrats that want to run against me the Democrats are going to choose. That's my main interest in the primary.
Okay. I know that otherwise it's a lot of work going on in Washington and continuing to deal with some of those issues, like you said, trying to get things wrapped up here. Have you been pretty pleased with the progress that's been made on a lot of things? I know that everybody kind of focuses on some of the high-profile issues, but you do seem to be getting quite a few things done.
Yeah. Well, you know, probably more back to normal. The way Reid was running the United States Senate, and I'll give you some statistics. During the year 2014, we only had 18 roll call votes on amendments. In 2015, we had 198 roll call votes on amendments. We had 98 Republican amendments, 94 Democrat amendments. But see, Reid wouldn't let you have that sort of debate. So we're getting things to the president that wouldn't normally get to the president. Now, if the president vetoes them, we don't have votes to override the veto, so things stay the same. So a lot of Republicans say, well, why did we work hard to get a Republican Senate if things don't change? You know, like we were going to repeal Obamacare. So we passed a bill repealing Obamacare, but the president vetoes it, and things stay the same. But we're at least advancing things to the president that didn't normally get to the president when Reid shut down the United States Senate.
So we are making some pretty good progress on.
Well, for instance,
getting the work of the people done.
Thank you. Under Reid's running the United States Senate, there were 370 some bills passed the House of Representatives that were never brought up in the United States Senate. That situation is changing very dramatically now.
Good. Well, I do appreciate you taking time to visit with us. I know that you're busy. You've got more committee meeting hearings coming up and things like that. You will be in the area. I know that you try to make stops in all the counties and everything else. So we look forward to visiting with you again. And in the next month, when you get a chance to be on the radio and join us again, we look forward to visiting with
you.
I'll
be glad to do that. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Jim.
That was Senator Charles Grassley, our guest on our Tuned In program.
You've been listening to Tuned In, hosted by News Director Jim Turbis on Local News Radio, AM 1590, KWBG.